God weaves things together in the Spirit. And so hopefully this carries on and adds to what God has been saying this morning. So this morning, I want to talk about character. About who are we? Who are we? Really, who are we? Yes. There's a man who knows who he is. Yep. That's right. Amen. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. Aren't we? The Son of God, the firstborn of the new creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the one through whom all things were made. We are a people chosen by God, a royal priesthood. We're a building and a temple where the Spirit of God is at home. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That we're all of that. That is who we are. And my prayer this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 23, and it's, just imagine Paul, if you'd just like to close your eyes, I want to pray this for you. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. Pretty amazing, isn't it? There's some stuff in there that I could just not explain to you. No matter how learned I was, there's things about God that I can't explain. I don't know everything and I can't know everything. But I can tell you one thing, that we are the body of Christ. That much I do know. And, you know, we are Cornerstone Christian Church. And we're a church that is loving, growing, reaching, authentic, creative, and empowering. The loving grace of God at work right here, right now. And, you know, from our point of view, these are the godly characteristics that we would like to be known for as a church. You know, we want to be a place where people can grow, don't we? Does anyone agree with that? You want to be a place where people can grow. And, you know, people grow best in relationship. You know, being part of a community is what enables us to be more than we could ever be on our own. And, you know, that is the blessing of community. The community gives us many things, and among these many things, it gives us a sense of identity. We discover who we are and who we're not when we're in community. It gives us a resourced environment. I like to think of it like, you know, in a good community, it's like fertile soil for growth, where we find like abundance of wisdom, faith, love, hope, as well as the material things of life, that when we share them as a community, as a family, you know, this just goes further. You know, when you cook a meal for one, there's so much work, and there's not actually that much more work to cook a meal for five or six. In fact, it can be more of a hassle sometimes. You just don't bother if you've been there. And community also gives us that sense of strength. And like what Shane was just saying there about, you know, God wants us to be strong. And, you know, that united we stand and divided we fall is so true. And there's a real strength when we come together. You know, when we're shoulder to shoulder with someone, when we know that the person next to us, behind us, in front of us, has got our back, or they're there for us, they're there to support us. You know, isn't that a great sense of, you know, you just feel strengthened by having others around you. It's like the rugby, you know, the scrum that goes down. There's a real sense of power when you hear them hit together and you know, depending on which team it is, you know, win that battle. But when they all switch over, it just keeps cutting out a bit. Yep, okay, I'll swap over. That's That's better. Okay. All right, I can't use my hand so much, but that's okay. My Italian coming out. No. Well, depending on our worldview, you know, why community is good for us can change. You know, evolutionist developmental theorists, which is a lot of big word for people who believe in evolution that talk about developmental theory, they argue that community has evolved because communities survive better than individuals. And so they look at, you know, that community works, and so therefore it must be an evolutionary process that, you know, everyone who wasn't in a community died, so therefore it's better and it's a trait that's come through. So you see, even non-Christians see the value in community. And even a faith community like church has benefits for non-believers. And, you know, I look at it as God's design. And when things are used the way they're designed to be used, things just work better. You know, if you're trying to use a level as a, you know, something to wedge things up with, it's not designed for that. But when you hold it on the wall, it does what it's supposed to do. It just works better. And so we want to be a community as a church that is authentic in who we are and the way we interact with each other. And in this world, there's so much manipulation goes on, so much coercion or even exclusion. And last week, Neville spoke so well about the value of freedom and how God has given us all the gift of free will. And so often this gift is taken away in the name of morality. And, you know, thinking about that, you know, it takes a lot of faith to allow people freedom to choose, doesn't it? A lot of, you know, trust. But at the end of the day, what kind of relationship do we want to have? You know, do we want one that's based on a pure motive that people actually really want to? You know, where the motivation is purely love. And where there is a sense of belonging that is reciprocal, that it's like, you know, I belong to you and you belong to me and we all belong to God. There's a wonderful strength that comes from that. But there's also a wonderful honesty that has to happen for the reciprocalness to take place. Because, you know, what affects you is going to affect me. And what affects me is going to affect you. And when we start to see that, then we start to hopefully act differently. And, you know, it's a real honest way to have a relationship where we don't need to impress people anymore because we're just okay with who we are. And if we need something, we don't have to resort to manipulation to get it. Because if we do, what does that say about where our hope is at? You know, does it say that our faith is in God? Or is it we putting our trust in man or the government or some government system or even something else? Because we want to be a community that is authentic, where each member is valued and feels empowered to be themselves and not squeezed into a mold that I think that you should fit. That's not how I see people. Praise God. Yeah, we want to really just want to model the authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's what church is built on, isn't it? Nothing else. We just sang that wonderful song, our hope is built on nothing else. And it's all about him. Because for Jesus, the bottom line was it was all about us. And so for us to have that reciprocal relationship with him, he's given everything to us. We need to just give everything back to him. And so this is the kind of character that I believe we want to have as a church and as a people of God. You know, helping others find out who they are, sharing our lives with others and supporting each other as we take those steps of faith and we face those incredibly tough challenges that life brings sometimes. We can do that together and genuinely. We will change and our world will change. So, you know, we all have character and, you know, some have maybe more character than others. I don't know. I love old houses because they have character. You know, you can get away with a lot with an old house when you're renovating. There's a uniqueness that is built up over time with an older house, isn't there, Amanda? They looked lived in, and they aren't necessarily perfect. That was that before we started work on it. No, almost, isn't it? Not far off. Beautiful work in progress. You know, they stood the test of time, the older houses. Hey, they've been through storms of life and they're still there. They've experienced long, hot summers, and, you know, it's character. It's no other way to describe that, is it? Anyone else like character houses? Yeah. You know, I want to say, you know, Peter's got character. He's, and I don't mean he looks old and lived in, but you get to know Peter, you know, there's someone who's been through stuff. And, you know, he's got a sweet spirit. He loves everyone, loves God. And you know, that is a character that is to be exemplified. And, you know, when we say someone is a real character, what are we really saying about that? We are, you know, that they're just not afraid to be themselves. And I love that. Isn't it? You know, don't we just want to be ourselves? You know, that yeah, our character is who we are. And as Bill Hybels would define it, when no one is looking. How wonderful we could just be that when everyone else is looking as well. Because people are always watching, aren't they? Just to see if we are who we say we are. And a bit like what Amanda was sharing from, you know, Paul's message in Romans, that, you know, there was good and bad character in all of us. You know, there's a struggle, you know, where the good of Christ is battling against the sinful nature that is in us. And yeah, I know for myself there are parts of my character that aren't all that they could be or that I'd like them to be. So, you know, I struggle to complete things. Okay? Confession time, you know, sometimes, you know, and I think that's God knows this, and I must have prayed something along the way that, Lord, help me with this inability to actually go right the way through rather than having several things all happening all at the same time. So He sent me a wonderful wife called Amanda. Praise God. Who really helps me in this area and helps motivate me and keep me on track and get it done. So the house doesn't look like that anymore. But often when we come to a character, we don't really know what we're made of, you know, until we come under pressure, until we're challenged, until there's a time where we have to choose one way or the other. And, you know, those times when the desire to just persevere and to endure are challenged by the thought to just give up and walk away. And I've had moments like that. And occasionally I still do. And, you know, you start thinking, life would be so much easier if I didn't have to do this. Why did I say yes to that? Why did I put myself in this position? And, you know, those are the challenging times where we find out where our character's at. And, you know, I had the wonderful privilege this last week of going on school camp with Zach in his year 7 and 8 class. And it was thunderstorms, it was wet, it was cold, it was full of rain, but it was 3 days of challenge where, you know, the sleeping conditions weren't ideal. So you're tired, you get up early, looking after a bunch of kids, trying to, you know, climb. They got to climb up, you know, 5 or 10 meters in the air and jump off the pole, that kind of stuff. So it was really challenging for the kids as well. And it was ideal conditions for character development, let me tell you that. You know, it just really brings out the best and the worst in people. And it's fascinating. You know, when you see kids who are just terrified of heights, climbing a pole anyway, because the class is like, you can do it, you can do it. No, I can't. Yes, you can. And you see them, you know, terrified. They climb and climb as far as they can. And then the only way down is you just got to let go. So they kind of have no choice. And they do it, and they see them, their faces, when they've just done what they said they could not do. You know, I think it's so great. And isn't that a bit what life is about as well, you know? That doing those things we didn't think we could do. And that's the power of a community. Because when we engage in community, hopefully we'll get to know each other a bit better, you know. you know, if we're always okay, if we don't invite people into our lives, you know, we miss out. And our community misses out on that wonderful interaction that could happen. And it means, obviously, if we're going to open our lives up to other people, that people are going to see us when we're not at our best. And, you know, so they're going to see us sometimes at our very worst. And sometimes, though, they'll also see us at our best. And I think about Jesus and the disciples. You know, they spent 3 years together, some of it on the road, you know, hard sleeping conditions. They faced storms together, angry crowds, hungry crowds. Don't sure which is worse. Hangry. It's a word, isn't it? Hangry. Hungry and angry. And, you know, demon-possessed people, authorities that didn't like them. And they just did life together. You know, they climbed mountains, sailed seas, went fishing, partied. They mourned together. Among all the other wonderful, miraculous workings of the Holy Spirit, they did life together. And, you know, there were times, you know, obviously where, you know, they let the team down. And that happened quite a bit if you read the Gospels. And I love Jesus' reaction every time. That, you know, the times where they argued about who was the greatest. And they had all these things that just happen when you get in a group of people. And, you know, through all of this, they got to know each other. And they got to know Jesus as Jesus taught them what it means to be his disciples in all of these situations. And he didn't use their successes to teach them, did he? You know, it was often the times where they failed that Jesus would, in his grace, come alongside and help them learn. So he wants us to be members of his kingdom, citizens of heaven living here on earth. And in Psalm 24, David describes what it is to have this kingdom character that we need to have. So I just want to read Psalm 24, just verses 3 to 6. And it's called "The King of Glory and His Kingdom." And it says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." Selah. Which means pause. Think about that. Now, what does it take for us to be able to ascend the hill and stand in his temple? See, the kingdom of God is for all who believe, but not everyone accepts it. So who here wants to be someone who has clean hands and a pure heart? I do. Most definitely. So who wants to come on a journey with me this morning as we climb a hill? Just metaphorically speaking, okay, we're like, okay, come on, let's go. There's not that many hills around Waiuku. But hopefully we'll get to the top and we'll stand in this holy place together. Because if you're going to go up a mountain and you're going to make it all the way to the top, before you begin the journey, you sort of need to examine what you're carrying. Have a good hard look at what you've got and what you need to get to the top. Everything else, leave it behind. Okay, so the first thing that we need to get rid of is the idols in our life. Those things that aren't the real God, but we treat them like they are. And the best way to describe this would be, you know, the fakes and frauds that we put our trust in. You know, and you got to ask this question, why do we trust idols or things that aren't God as though they were God? And you sort of think, why do I do that? And I think, you know, I think because they give us a sense of control. Even if it's just an illusion of being control, we have a sense of it in this really unstable world we live in. And it's good to have the element of feeling like, you know, I've got that bit sorted. And, you know, I won't lie, you know, I think if the church had more than enough money to do what we needed to do, maybe we wouldn't feel the need for God's provision quite the same. you might be not the same sort of urgency in seeking God's face every day for his provision. And rather than growing in our relationship with him, there's a possibility we could take our eyes off of him because we're okay. You know, money's got it sorted. You know, I had a revelation the other day about also the need to enjoy the journey of life. You know, things have been getting a little bit crazy in my life. Busyness of life will start to take over. You know, those times when you feel like the ball in the pinball machine. You're just bouncing from one thing to the next. And you don't really seem to have a lot of control over where you're going or what you're doing. You're sort of responding. And I really felt, you know, as I was praying and spending time with God, that he rebuked me about my attitude toward life. And I'd let the demands of life decide for me. And, you know, there are things that have to be done, obviously. But I was missing out on what God was doing in the midst of it all because I was more focused on what had to get done. And the answer was to just slow down and get some perspective. You know, the stuff that had to be done in my life was not God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And like we sang, my hope is built on nothing less. And if it didn't get done, well, it didn't get done. So I just let it go. Trust in God. It's a big step to take sometimes. If you have to get to those moments, you might not have, might not be you, might just be speaking to myself here, but these are idols in our life. We don't always recognize them. Sometimes we need God to just put his finger on it. Because if we're living our life with something that's not God, trying to decide what we should do in our life, then there's, you know, you got to have a good heart, think about what is really important for us. Okay, so we'll just put that aside. Idol's gone. Okay, the next thing we need to overcome on our journey up the mountain is lies. Okay, anyone here not lied? Oh gosh, you guys are too honest. Okay. Lies are Satan's main language, aren't they? The cues Amanda said so much this morning about this little bit that I was going to talk about, that you know, there's so much untruth in our world. Lies are everywhere. And they can be so very dangerous. And they destroy relationships. They keep people awake at night. And they lead us into dark places because we're afraid. And like Amanda said, the most dangerous ones are the ones that we tell ourselves. Those ones that say, you know, we aren't good enough. Or maybe we think we're better than someone else. Or maybe we think that, you know, everything hinges on us alone. There's a lot of things that the devil uses to keep us down. To keep the body of Christ weaker than it should be. And lies are the way he does that. And you think about why do we lie in the first place, you know? And you know, Cain, yeah, he lied to God, didn't he, when God said, "Where's your brother?" "I don't know." He did know. So why did Cain lie? You know, God knows everything anyway. I think it's, you know, to cover up our shame, you know, to maybe get something that we don't feel we deserve. Maybe, I think, at its very core, it comes back to our insecurity, our fear. That is why we lie in life. And, you know, there's obviously times where we get put between a rock and a hard place. When your partner asks us about, you know, what does that look like? You can think, if I say this, I'm going to be in trouble. If I say this, I'm going to be in trouble. It looks good. It's not always easy, is it? But I think that if we know we are loved and that we belong to God and have a place in his community, there should be no need for us to really lie to each other. You know, we can be honest, can't we? And, you know, there's still room for tact, I guess, in the way that we tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. You know, because we care about the person that we're talking to. So there's going to be a loving grace in that. But Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 37, he said, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Okay? Isn't it crazy how we like to justify why we can't do something? Or we can, you know, it's like, oh, maybe I'm preaching to myself here, but honestly, it can just be so hard to just say no. No, but because I've got to do this, and you want to explain everything, like, I really want to, but I can't, because you can't just say no. You know, it can be a hard thing, but it's the best thing, because the truth is so powerful. Now, there's no deceit in God. He is who he says he is, and he is the truth and light by nature. And the more of his nature we have going on in here, then the less room we'll have for the enemy's lies or the need that to maybe manipulate others or justify ourselves before others. And that's the cool thing about being part of a loving community. There's enough grace for each other to just tell it how it is. And that's what we want to be, that kind of community. So how do we get such a godly character when we are such, you know, obviously sinful people? And I think Jesus is our example in everything. And there's this great moment that is recorded in Matthew's account where Jesus knows what's coming and what lies ahead of him, and he takes some time to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's a passage we're really familiar with. Many of us will be. And so Jesus is in the garden. It's nighttime. And we read in verse 36 that Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, just sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Sorrow, you know. There is sorrow on this journey of faith. It's not all, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. There's a real sorrow at having to let go of our lives. But that is exactly what the cross of Jesus Christ invites us to do. To lay down our lives. To forgive. To trust him. And there can be a real sorrow in coming to that point where we have to make that decision. Because you have what you're used to, what you know, what you're comfortable with, and then you got to let go of that to allow God to come in. And we read on in verse 39 that Jesus, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Three times Jesus went away and prayed that same prayer. It's pretty amazing, really. You wonder what is happening in that moment. And three times, the response that Jesus got from his Father was very different to what any one of us would want to hear. And the Bible doesn't actually tell us whether God actually spoke to Christ in that moment, where he just said, no, son. Or he might just not have said anything. But it's a very real moment, and one that has played out in our own lives every day. And, you know, Lord, there is pain down that path. Oh, please take that away from me. But not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Like the disciple Peter, we can say, Lord, I'm going to follow you anywhere, even to the grave. But when the time comes, we find out on our own, we don't have the same courage that we thought we would. You know, we're going to be there for you, Jesus. I'm never going to deny you. No matter what people say, no matter what they call me, I'm yours forever. And then something comes along that challenges that, and you know, we're like the disciple Peter, and we give in and said, no, you got me mistaken with someone else. And I always wonder, what would have happened if the same story, you know, where Peter denied Christ, if the disciples had all stayed together that night, you know, instead of all running away and all going their separate ways and splitting up and heading to the hills, and if they'd all gone as a big group of them with John and Jesus as he was led in, and they all stood there shoulder to shoulder, would Peter have denied Christ then? Maybe he would have been a bit stronger in his faith. That's the power of community, I think, is sometimes, you know, when we stand shoulder to shoulder, we gain a strength we wouldn't have on our own. You know, if we spend a moment to think on what Christ was giving up when he made that decision to proceed with the Father's will and not his own, to choose that God's will would be done here on earth as it was in heaven. See, he gave up his life in that moment. But he didn't give up his free will, which is pretty amazing. You know, when they came to take him away, he chose to go with them. They didn't have to bind him up and take him. He just went. When they falsely accused him, he chose to stay silent. And when he was hung on the cross to die, he chose to forgive them. Our decisions are what determine what is in our character. And we don't know what tomorrow will bring, do we? But we do know that God is good. And that is where we need to begin with. God is good. We can trust him. See, Jesus had no idols in his life. He was not swayed by what was said about him. He wasn't undone by accusations about him. He was not tempted by wealth or power or control over people. His mind was set on one thing, and that was God's purpose, and to set his people free. He was not insecure about who he was, and he spoke the truth, even though it cost him his life. See, Jesus climbed the hill of Calvary with a pure heart and clean hands, and he gained for us a righteousness that is not our own. And through Jesus, we gain access to God's kingdom where Christ reigns. So it's a wonderful spiritual community, the kingdom of God, where we can find strength to face adversity. We can find a sense of identity, and we find support as we go through all kinds of trials in life. We also find this community a place where we can grow into all the wonderful kinds of people that God wants us to be, where God's Spirit is quite at home and the character of Christ shines through in everything we do. Because in this place, in this community, hopefully we find out what it means to be free from having to pretend, free to be ourselves, and to allow the Spirit of God to complete that work of salvation in us. See, he is the incomparably great power that is at work in his church. Right now, he's at work in us, helping us to produce a church that has the character that is so different from this world we live in. And it's a church that has character because we all have character, don't we? We all have the light of Christ. But for that light to really grow and flourish, we need to be in community to do it. So we need to be there to help each other and to encourage each other. But most importantly, we don't need to be afraid of our mistakes because we can learn from them. So just as I come to a close, I'd just like to invite you all just to stand up. And just got one more scripture I just want to close with. And it's the Apostle Paul again, and he's writing to the Corinthian church. And, you know, the church is having a few issues because they're taking each other to court and having a few arguments about stuff. And Paul just wants to get them their head around a new perspective, and so he writes this wonderful thing. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 11, he says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So I just like thought that'd be good if we'd all say that together. So just say after me, you know, I have been washed. I have been sanctified. And I have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God, we've all been washed. Praise God that we stand in His holy place today and every day. And praise God that we get to be a part of this community that He is building day by day, week by week, year by year. A community that weathers storms together, a community that celebrates the good times together, and a community where God's heart and character are visible clearly for the whole world to see. So just take a moment. I guess obviously I just want to allow a bit of time to respond. So everybody just close your eyes and bow your heads just for a moment. You know, there's been a few calls to respond this morning as different people have come up at what God's put on their hearts, that there are people here today that are struggling. And there are people here that, you know, we all need to get right with God on a daily basis. And we're here together as a community to love and support each other. So we know right now you're in the safest place you could ever be, in the love of God. So I just want to take a moment. You know, I talked about as we climb that hill, we need to have a little bit of time just to reflect on what we're carrying. So I just want to give you a moment between you and God. You know, just allow the Spirit just to really put His finger on anything in your life. I know that moment when I realize that, you know, life is here to be enjoyed, that it doesn't last forever, that I need to really appreciate every moment I am with God, that, you know, He's working out His plan for me. I don't need to be tossed about by the demands of life anymore. That was a changing point for me in my life. So if that's, maybe that's something that spoke to you, I don't know, but it might be something else. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you that, yeah, your will is to love us, that you don't want us to stay bound up or tied up by lies in this world and or following after the things that aren't you or good for us. So Lord, I just want to pray that your freedom will reign in this place this morning. Lord, that each single person as we, you know what we struggle with, Lord. We just want to offer it up to you. So if that's you, if you want to hand something over to God, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask for an altar call this morning. I just want you to just raise your hand to God. That's all you need to do. And just acknowledge, Lord, well, yeah, I just want to start again, Lord. I want a fresh start. I just want to be carrying this stuff around. I want to enter your holy place with a clean heart, clean hands, and a pure heart this morning. If that's you, just raise your hand. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you that we are a new creation. Lord, take this burden from us. Lord, that we would live freely. Lord, that nothing would hinder us. That the past is past and we step into the future with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, awesome. Okay, everybody, just stand around, maybe shake someone's hand. Tell them that I'm there for you if you need me. Anything you need. Maybe share a cup of tea and a coffee together. Cool. God bless you.